In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are at the beginning of this new year, and if we don't know what the divine will is about, we're going to really find out this year what it's about. This is why I really truly believe that we have to really begin to live this abundant life so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. So this is a new beginning for the church and for the world. This new year, this is something that is going to really begin this new and divine way of holiness for all of us. And where we begin is what Jesus tells Louisa. You have to have the disposition. And I've always thought, well, I have a good position. And it's not that. You're going to understand. A lot of people get upset when they hear nobody's fully living in the divine will. Louisa did, but no one else has got to that point, because when you listen to what Jesus says about this disposition, if you're really honest with yourself, nobody's there yet. Nobody. And until that great event that Jesus keeps on telling Luis is coming, humanity is not ready. So he's giving us the means of how to get ready, the why and the how this is going to happen. And this is why we're going to focus today on the disposition needed to live in the divine will. So Jesus begins in volume one to Louisa. My beloved, the things past have been nothing but a preparation. So everything in our lives that we've gone through from the moment we were conceived until now, everything has been, God is preparing us to enter into this gift. And we are going to see when we get into the kingdom that, and we're going to thank God for everything that we've gone through, because we are very far from what God has planned for humanity. So he is like a wild horse. He has tried to tame us, and we've been bucking and bronking and whatever all that those words are for getting the person off, get away from me. The fear that horse has, that wild horse has. And this is what all the saints have gone through to learn how to do the will of God. But more than that, Jesus says, I want you to enter into living in the divine will so that you can eventually embrace the divine inheritance of the Father. And this is what is needed. So he says, my beloved, the things of the past have been nothing but a preparation. Now I want to come to facts, F-A-C-T-S, in order to dispose your heart to do what I, God, want from you. You know, when we apply for a job, we try to fill out the form and say, I know I can do this. I'm pretty sure I can do this. And we enter into that job. Well, our life is more than that. So Jesus says, in order to dispose your heart to do what I want from you, you must begin the imitation of my life, Jesus says. This is the life of Jesus crucified. And we hear this when we read the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. We hear that even from the womb, Jesus was imprisoned in the womb of his mother. God Almighty becoming a human for 9 months, not being able to do anything, basically bound in the womb of Mary, getting himself ready to be bound to the cross. And now, for the last 2,000 years, he's been with us. He says, I will not abandon you. He's been with us in the Blessed Sacrament, and he is alone in the tabernacle. Basically, with the 8 billion people on earth, there's a few that are with him, but the majority are not there. They don't even know he's there. They don't even care that he's there. So he says, I'm going to dispose your heart to do what I want from you. And to that is the imitation of my life. I want you to sink, dive into this immense ocean, the immense sea of my passion. And when you have understood well the bitterness of my pain. So he says, the hours of the passion are so essential to enter into this hours of the passion, to understand it, is to repeat, enter into this life, this new and divine way of holiness that our God is asking of us. He's asking us to really begin to live this abundant life so that we can begin to understand him. So the 24 hours of the passion is Jesus showed us. And as St. Honorable de Francia says very, very clearly, we begin to understand, we begin to learn of what God had to do to redeem us. He says, when you have understood well this bitterness of my pains, the love which Jesus says, I suffered them, who I am, who suffered them so much. We have to begin to understand that our God, there's no God like our God. He went to the cross and he embraced the cross and he died on the cross for us. He took our place. He says, and you who are the most wretched creature, your heart shall not dare to oppose the blows, the cross that only for your good, I, God, have prepared. So we have to begin. He says the two things, the thing that is important to humanity is knowing who they are and knowing who God is. He says, who are you? He says, basically, you're a fallen creature. I have redeemed you, Jesus says. He came to redeem us with his mother on Calvary. And your heart, once you understand how far you have fallen, how great our God is to redeem humanity, you will not dare oppose the blows and the crosses that only for your good, I, God, have prepared for you from the beginning of time. So when we think about our life, a lot of people go, why me? I've gone through this. Why me? So some people have even said to Jesus, you know, you were only suffering on the cross for 3 hours. I've been suffering in my bed for years. And Jesus says, well, let me show you how I have suffered, who I am, number one, how I have suffered. And now he says, I'm going to help you begin to understand that everything in your life is to bring you to heaven. And so let's go back to this year. If we don't understand what's coming, it's because we're living blinded. We're completely blinded. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we get to know Jesus, especially his passion, when we get to know Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, and the kingdom, when we begin to understand that what they did, the new Adam and the new Eve did, was to get us ready so that we could enter into the kingdom. So he says in volume one, what you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials. And I do believe those words are for us today. It's going to get more difficult. And it's nothing to panic about. As Joan of Arc said, you know, I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. God is with us. And the more, as Catholics, the more we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the more we visit our Eucharistic Lord, we're being prepared. So he says, this is why I, God, have come to dispose your heart and to fortify your heart. Now, you shall tell me everything you have gone through. Tell me all your doubts, all your fears, all your difficulties. So here, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus says, I want to get into a dialogue with you. Tell me why you're here. Tell me why you have come here to me. Most of us don't go to the Lord voluntarily. We go to the Lord when there's difficulties coming. And all of us are going through difficulties. All of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. God is trying to get us ready for this new and divine way of holiness that we're going to enter into. So he says, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, tell me what you have gone through. Tell him everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tell me your doubts, your fears. Tell me all of your difficulties. And he says that I, God, may teach you how to conduct yourself during my absence, because we don't see him at this point. We see him in the Blessed Sacrament, but we don't see him. We don't see the holy humanity of Jesus. He says, I'm going to take care of you. He wants to. But he needs us to cooperate. So for most of us, we don't turn to our Lord until we're put into that situation. Volume one again, he says, while seeing yourself beaten, disheartened, and alone, you shall resign yourself to my holy dispositions. So this surrender to God, see, first of all, he's asking us, you have to have the disposition for the divine will. So he says, this is what you're going to do. You're going to resign yourself to my holy dispositions. So we're going to learn from God, as he said to Louisa, I want you to learn from me. I want you to enter into the imitation of my life. The saints have had the imitation of Christ, St. Thomas. What our God is asking us to do is to enter into this life, but learn more than what the saints did. How can we learn more than what the saints did? It's by reading the Book of Heaven. He says, resign yourself to my holy dispositions. And he says, he predicts the future. You shall thank me wholeheartedly. That he's teaching us this. Our life must be the imitation of Christ. You shall kiss the hand of mine that strikes you. Recognizes yourself unworthy of those pains. Most of us think we're pretty good. When we look at Louisa's greatest sin, she tells us in the Book of Heaven, was not wanting to be in bed, but to become a nun so that she could help the children, help the people. And Jesus says, my will for you is that you stay in bed. And she says, but I want to help people. And she says, that was her greatest sin. And she had to be in the confessional with Jesus for 7 hours. Most of our confessions are we follow the three B's, be blunt, be brief, be gone. We go to confession and we tell our sins and we ask for absolution from the priest. He says, resign yourself to my holy disposition and you will thank me wholeheartedly and you shall kiss the hand of mine that strikes you, because you're going to recognize yourself unworthy of those slight pains that you're going through. See, Jesus, he gives light, his life, his love to those who are close to him. And he has to correct us. We're not God. He is God. And he needs us to learn from him this holy disposition that he alone possesses. So he asked me various questions, for example, if I loved him, if I was ready to do what he, Jesus, wanted, even the sacrifice of my life for love of God. Are you ready to do what Jesus wants? This is the disposition he's looking for. He did everything that the Father wanted. Even the sacrifice of his love for life for the love of the Father. This calling that God gives us at this point has never been given to this point. He's called the lives of the saints through prayer, fasting, penance, mortification, where the saints would learn how to do the will of God. Now Jesus says, I want you to learn how to live in the will of God. And this is, are you ready to do what God wants? Even the sacrifice of your life for the love of God. And we could say flippantly, oh, sure, absolutely. But are we ready to die to all that we're worried about and being and fearful of and anxious of and complaining about and being negative about? Are we ready to die to that? That's our life at this point. Jesus shows us this through Louisa. We're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. And Jesus says, this has got to stop. You've got to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in this situation that you're in. Trusting God, believing in God, hoping in God, confidence in God. And he also said to Louisa, and you, tell me what you want. If you are ready to do what I want, I, God, too, shall do what you want. Now, I've mentioned before, and a lot of people in the divine will understand this, I'm not worried about my family. I'm praying for them. They're all far away from Christ and his church, most of them. But I know that Jesus says, you do what I want, I'll do what you want. Well, I want not only my family, but all of humanity to be in the kingdom. I want to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach, for not just for the Israelites, but for all humanity. Tell me what you want, Jesus said. And if you're ready to do what I, God, want you to do, I too shall do what you want. So Louisa says, I saw myself all confused. I could not understand the way of operating of God, of his. But with time, I understood that the way of acting is when he wants to dispose the soul to a new and heavy crosses. The way of God, he says, he wants to dispose us to new and heavier crosses. This is why we're in this new year. Look how it began. Look how the last year ended. New and heavy crosses are coming. And again, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to run away for. We have been planned. This is God's plan that we be alive today, and that he is giving us the way and the how we're going to get through this. And if we're not reading the book of heaven, that's one of the things that's going to be sad for our lives. Reading the book of heaven, we're beginning to understand what God is asking. So he knows how to draw the soul so close to himself with those strategies of love that the soul does not dare to oppose what God wants. He is our Lord and our Savior. The more you spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, the more strength you have. And it's not your strength. It's his strength. The more that you are with him, the more you fall in love with God. That's why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? To get ready for what God is going to want from us. In this state of suffering, Jesus said, I shall purify your soul thoroughly in such a way as to dispose you to form a mystical marriage with me. This is the thing that's so essential. This mystical marriage, we learn it from the lives of the saints. Louisa received the mystical marriage when she was young. Jesus says, basically, I came to earth to find a bride. You're my bride. And each one of us is his bride individually and collectively in the Holy Church. We are the bride of Christ. And all the saints have said, if you really read, that as Jesus went to the cross, the bride is going to go to the cross. So we're going to enter some really interesting times. And everything that we've gone through has prepared us for what's coming. So we don't want to oppose anything that God wants. He says he wants to dispose us to form a mystical marriage with me. After this, I shall make the final transformation in such a way that, listen to this, this is the mystical marriage on earth, but the final transformation that's coming, see, that hasn't here yet. That's the fullness of the divine will. In such a way that the two of us shall become like two candles placed on the fire. One is transformed into the other, and they both become one. That's the fullness of the divine will. This has happened with Louisa, and it's going to happen to humanity, but not yet. We haven't gone through this training yet. We're going to go through this. So he says, one is transformed into the other and they become one. In this way, I, God, shall transform myself into you, and you shall remain crucified with me. The bride of Christ is going to Calvary. And this is where the church is at this point. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be doom and gloom. It's just, thank you, Jesus, that finally, which you have said from the beginning, that we're going to be one with you. We're going to be married to you. We become one is happening. This mystical marriage on earth is to get us ready for the wedding feast of heaven. So he says, again, in volume one, from the very beginning, Jesus told me, Louisa, that he wanted me to take on a new method of life. Write that down and put it on your bathroom mirror. Jesus wants you to take on a new method of life. This is greater than a religious life. Why? It's in order to dispose each and one of us to that mystical marriage that God has promised me. So this is the reason why we wear the wedding ring. We wear the wedding ring because Jesus has proposed to us. And we wanted to be disposed to receive that mystical marriage. It's not just because you wear the wedding ring that you possess it. It's that gift is coming. He says, and he promised me that this is what was going to happen. And Jesus would say to me, Louisa, beloved of my heart, I have put you in this state. Think about our own life. Beloved of my heart, Jesus says to each and every one of us, I have put you in this state so that I might come more freely to converse with you. What's the state that we're in? Well, if we're reading the book of heaven, you lose a lot of friends. You lose your relatives. You're basically alone. Why? I have put you in this state to come more freely to converse with you. We now have the book of heaven to read and to study. Does your family want it? No. Neighbors want it? No. Co-workers want it? No. Nobody wants this. It's this book of heaven. He says, I put you in the state that you're in so that you can read and study and put into practice so that I may come more freely to talk to you, to teach you, to give you these lessons. See, I have freed you from all external occupations. Think about it. When you got into the divine will, it's like your wings are clipped. What's happening? So that not only your soul, but also your body might be at my disposal so that you might remain in continuous holocaust, crucifixion before me. You're dying to your ego and your will. Those things that are happening around you have brought you to this point, Jesus says, where you're going to be alone with me. Good. It's about time. You're going to spend eternity with God. And he wants you to begin to live this life. So he says, I had spent about 3 years in this state, or Louisa says, I had spent about 3 years in this state already described, continued to remain in bed. While one morning, Jesus made me understand that he wanted to renew the marriage, not on earth as the first time. So this is what's going to happen to us. We're going to enter into this mystical marriage. He says, but in heaven as well, in the presence of the celestial court, that I should stay prepared for the grace so great. So we have to prepare ourselves for this great grace that is so great that Jesus is not only going to marry us on earth, but in heaven. I should stay prepared for a grace so great, Louisa says. So look at the ring that you are wearing. You know, Jesus has proposed to you. You're going to be married on earth to the Lord. You're going to be married in heaven to the Lord. Prepare yourself for the grace that God is going to give you. So she says, as much as I could in order to dispose myself, but since I am so miserable and insufficient to do any shadow of good, the hand of the divine maker was needed. See, we need God for this in order to dispose me. Because by myself, I could never manage to purify my soul. So this purification is coming. Jesus said to Louisa, I must purify the church and the world. This is what we're seeing. The church and the world is being purified. And it's going to look as difficult for the apostles as for the people today. We didn't think God was going to purify the world by dying on the cross. But he did. And we need the hand of the divine maker to dispose us to this purification that's coming. We're going to see things that are going to really disturb us. But our trust and our confidence in God is going to say, fiat, Lord, let it be as you wish, as Our Lady did on Calvary. So one morning, it was the eve of the nativity of Mary Most Holy, and my always benign Jesus came to dispose me himself. That's going to happen. God is going to do this for each and every one of us. Be sure of this. The way Jesus taught Louisa is the way he's going to teach us. So, and the next part was after this on the morning, that morning, in order to dispose my heart more, Jesus spoke about the annihilation of myself. And he also spoke of the immense desire that I was to excite within me in order to dispose myself to receive that grace. So he's saying, are you ready? Are you ready what I'm going to do? Are you ready for what this great gift that I'm going to give to you? Are you excited? Is the Lord excited that you're ready? You've been purified so that God can dispose us to receive that grace. And he told me that the desire makes up for the lack and imperfections that there may be in my soul. And like a mantle, this grace covers everything. So Jesus is saying, if you're reading, if you're studying, if you're making the divine will your everything, everything's going to work out. He says, I'll take care of it. Keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on putting this into practice. I'm going to give you the grace that this desire that you have will be manifested. So going back to the beginning, when Jesus would deign to come, he would speak to me very often about his passion, and he would take the care of disposing my soul to the imitation of his life, of his pains. See, this passion of Christ is essential for us. A friend of mine who's now in heaven, more than likely, he spent every day reading the Hours of the Passion. You know, I remember when the Book of Heaven came out, and I'd say to him, you got to read. And he'd say, I'm in love with the Passion of the Christ. I'm in love with it. And I'm focused on this all day long. He was prepared. See, he was so convicted that he was disposing his soul to imitate Jesus's life, Jesus's pains. Entering into this marriage, this mystical marriage. And what I can tell you is here was a gentle soul who loved God. He spent his time with Jesus at Calvary. And again, that's why Jesus is always saying, go back to the passion. You don't know enough yet. Go back to the passion. You're not disposing your soul enough. So with this Lent, if you haven't got a group of people in your own parish, go to your pastor, say, I'd like to go through this with the parishioners in the parish. If it's okay with you. And if he says, no, we don't have any time for that, say, thank you. But yourself, find a few people that would you be willing to pray this in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, every day for Lent. Because Jesus says, those that do this, the chastisement that's coming will be lessened in those towns that do this, in those parishes that do this. So Jesus tells Louisa this. In addition to the marriage that is mentioned, he says he had one more left to do, and this was the marriage of the cross. So he's teaching us this disposition. Are you willing to be married to Christ? Are you willing to be married in heaven for eternity with Christ? Are you willing to now on earth be married to the cross? It's Christ crucified. It's not an empty cross. It's Jesus on the cross that you're being married to. You're being one with. This imitation of Christ is essential. And since you are so sorry for having offended me, I myself want to dispose you to feel sorry for your sins so that you may see how awful sin is. We don't understand how awful sin is. We don't understand that yet. Sin is, we have to look at sin as rotting death. And he says, and what a bitter pain for my sacred heart, my heart suffered. Therefore, say together with me, if I cross the sea, you are in the sea, yet I do not see you. I tread the earth, you are under my feet, I have sinned. See, it's the cross is always with us. If you're in the sea, I don't see you, but I the cross is here. If you tread the earth, you are under my feet, I have sinned. See, we represent all of humanity. When we pray, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Why? So the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. And then in a low voice, almost crying, Jesus added, yeah, I loved you, and at that very moment, I preserved you. When we sin, God loves us, but he saves us, asking us to come back to him. And while Jesus was saying this, I caught such sorrow for the offenses that I have given that I fell flat to the ground and Jesus disappeared. We have to get to that point that every sin, a venial sin, keeps us out of heaven. And every sin, even human inadequacies, have to be changed. We have to let God purify our hearts, our minds, our souls, so that we are in the imitation of the new Adam and of the new Eve. We possess the DNA of the new Adam and of the new Eve. This is the disposition that God is looking for. Volume 2, 516, 1899. This morning, Jesus poured a little bit more of bitterness from his mouth into mine. And he told me, the cross disposes the soul to patience. Patience is essential. I mean, a lot of people get into a situation where they say, you have no right to say this to me. And Jesus is showing us that they had no right to say anything to Jesus, contrary to him. But he was silent. Silence is one of the hardest things for people to go through. Our Lady was silent most of her life. She said a couple things in sacred scripture. Do whatever he tells you. She was always obedient, silent and obedient. Silence is essential. Jesus says those that talk and just rattle on about whatever show that they have nothing within them. What is it within us? Is it Jesus? Then it would always be Jesus. That's everything. To adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to glorify God is our life. The cross opens the heavens, Jesus says. The cross unites heaven and earth together. That is, God and the soul become one. This is what God is waiting for. He's really waiting for us to have this patience, this silence, in order to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. This is what's coming. Volume 2, 10, 1, 1999. And Louis said to Jesus, if there are some who abuse the sacraments, there are also many good daughters who receive them with due dispositions in order to suffer very much as if they could not attain them. And now here's Louisa defending humanity. There, even if somebody's not with you in the sacraments, there are many good people who are. Jesus says to her, they are too scarce in their number. And then their pain for not being able to receive them shall work as a reparation for me, to make them victims for those who abuse them. So he's saying very clearly, yes, it's going to come to a point where happening then in 1899, it was too scarce of their number. Out of 8 billion people, how many are going to Holy Mass? How many are going to Holy Confession? The pain for not being able to receive them shall work as reparation for me, to make them victims for those priests and bishops who abuse them. You can't receive communion today. So Jesus is saying he knows what's happening, but there's so few. But their suffering that they're going to go through, a lot of people say to me, I can't get to Mass. I used to be able to go to Mass every day. Now I can't. Jesus says that suffering that you're going through is going to repair. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Now, the one, next one, it says volume, I think, 2, but it's really volume 3, 1126, 1999. So this is volume 3. Great God, too scarce is my suffering. I am not content with only the cross, but I also want the thorns and the nails. So here's Louisa saying, my sufferings aren't enough. I'm not content with only the cross, but give me the thorns, give me the nails. If I do not deserve this because I am unworthy and a sinner, certainly you can give me the dispositions in order to deserve it. when we hear of Jesus taking the crown of thorns off Jesus' head and pounding it on our own head, we say, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Jesus did this. He says, she says, my sufferings are too scarce. I'm not content with only being crucified with you, Lord. I want the thorns. I want the nails. I do not deserve this because I am an unworthy sinner. Certainly you can give me the dispositions in order that I might deserve it. And Jesus sending me a ray of intellectual light made me understand that he wanted to make me the confession of my sins. So here she goes to confession for this. This is for the 7 hours. I felt almost floored, she said, before the three divine persons, but the holy humanity of our Lord inspired me with confidence. I want you to go to confession, Jesus says, to me. So before the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the holy humanity of Jesus gave her confidence. She knows how much he loves us. He's our light. He's our life. He's our savior. He's our God. He's our all. The next one is also volume 3, 12-2, 1899. The cross is so powerful, and I communicated it with so much grace as to render it more effective than the very sacraments. So here Jesus is saying, the cross is so powerful. We don't understand why the cross is so powerful. Every priest should have a cross to bless the people with. It's not just the blessing of Jesus, but it's the blessing of the Christ crucified. I communicated in the cross so much grace as to render it more effective than the very sacraments. And this is because receiving the sacrament of my body, the disposition and the free discourse of the soul are needed in order to receive my graces. How many people are disposed to receive Jesus in the Eucharist? Go to Holy Mass and then prepare themselves for Holy Mass for at least 15 minutes before Mass to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God after receiving Holy Communion. Jesus is within us. We're in communion with God. Who has that free concourse? Who is disposed to receive God's graces? Many people come in late for Mass, rush up, go to communion, and rush out to go wherever they're going. It becomes a habit. Luisa spent 2 hours of preparation before Holy Mass, then the hour of Holy Mass, and then the 2 hours after Holy Mass. 5 hours she prayed. The picture of her looking up is the picture they took of her while she was in ecstasy after receiving the Holy Eucharist. He says, I want the disposition of the free concourse of the souls are needed to receive my graces. And many times these may be lacking, while the cross has the virtue of disposing the soul to grace. We see God dying on the cross. This is why, again, the hours of the Passion are so powerful. To be with Jesus. To kiss. Do you kiss the cross every morning? Do you kiss the scapular every morning? It's Jesus is saying, I'm going to clothe you with divinity. This is how I did it, by dying on the cross for you. And the next one, again, is also volume 3, 1500. Just as sin wounds and gives death to the soul, so does the sacrament of confession give life. The sacrament of confession heals the wounds. The sacrament of confession restores vigor to the virtues. And this more or less according to the disposition of the soul. So does the virtue of the sacrament operate. Is holy confession part of our life, our Catholic life? Or is it rare? Jesus is looking. He says, it'll heal your wounds. It gives you life. It restores vigor to virtues. Are you disposed for this? Are you longing for this? Are you desiring this? Volume 4, 1900. The Lord, I waited for you the whole night, more so since because of having received Holy Communion, I fear that my heart may not be well disposed to be able to receive you. So here she was up all night and she wasn't focusing. And she says, I fear that my heart may not be well disposed to receive you. I haven't prayed these 2 hours like I normally do. Therefore, I need you to review my soul so that my soul may be disposed to unite me with you sacramentally. There's a prayer that we can pray before Holy Communion. Lord, I need you to review my soul so that it may be disposed to unite me with you sacramentally. And Jesus benignly reviewed my soul and prepared me to receive him. Volume 4, 922, 1900. Many times as you dispose yourself to make the sacrifice of death, so many times do I give you the merit as if you were truly dying. So here, you say to the Lord, I dispose myself to the sacrifice of death. And God will put you in situations where you think you're going to die. And so many times do I give you the merit as if you were truly dying. But this must be of great consolation for you. More so since you conform to me, Jesus, more as my life was a continuous dying to my ego and my will, Jesus says. I never gave life to my human will. So as you dispose yourself every day, Lord, I'm ready to make the sacrifice of death. Again, this isn't morbid. Our life is with Jesus. Our death is our human misery. And Jesus says, you got to die to it. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.